Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Medical marijuana has been legal in Michigan since 2008. In a few cities such as Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids, recreational use and possession has been decriminalized, although you can still get a civil infraction, a fine. Medical marijuana dispensaries have popped up across much of the state. Local ordinances determine how many, where they can locate, even the hours of operation sometimes. To get a Michigan pot update, we're joined by Rick Thompson. He serves on the boards for Michigan Legalize and Michigan Normal. That's the state chapter of the National Organization of the Reform of Marijuana Laws. So tell us, what's the latest on medical marijuana facilities licensing in law?
Well, the latest is the rollout of the Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act, which was passed in 2016 by the legislature and signed by the governor. December of this year, they'll begin issuing applications for new distribution centers, testing centers, transporters, cultivators, and processors in the state.
So basically, we're setting up the whole distribution and network system from seed to use, right?
Well, what we're doing is reinventing the entire thing because it already exists.
Right.
Yes, and of course, we can call it a gray market if you wish, but there's been a robust industry already existing in the state since 2009 when the first program rolled out.
Now, there's a 3% tax now too, right? Is that correct?
There is a tax on the new medical sales that'll be gone through the regular medical shops that they roll out in 2018.
So are the dispensaries angry about that or welcome it? Or I mean, does this legitimize them? What do they think of the 3% tax?
Well, the 3% tax itself, I think everyone wants to contribute to the state itself in one way or another. We all want to see better roads. We want to see better schools. We want to see cleaner streets. But the concern is that the existing business community is going to be left out or completely eliminated from this brand new business program. And that seems very unfair to people that have spent the last 7 years building up an industry and creating the success base upon which this new set of businesses will be born on.
Explain that.
Since 2009, industry has sprung up on its own. We understand that there's a need for distribution, there's a need for testing, there's a need for cultivation inherent within the medical marijuana program. So although it existed without state sanction, it certainly did exist and employs thousands of people across the state to this day. The new Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act will only allow people who are state certified and state sanctioned to participate. And we believe that most of the people that are currently existing in the system, in the business program, will not be eligible for participation in the new business climate that's been created by the legislature.
Is that because they have a criminal record or what is it?
No. In fact, most of the people that are patients or caregivers don't have criminal records. In fact, there are some background checks that you must go through in order to be qualified as a caregiver.
So why would they be restricted or prohibited from becoming licensed under the state now?
Well, we would like to know the same thing too. We're really concerned by the Licensing Control Board. It's a 5-member board that's going to approve all of the participants in the new Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act. One of the 5 members is a former Michigan State Police sergeant, Sergeant Bailey. Sergeant Bailey said that if we didn't trust you to follow the rules under the old program, why would we trust you to follow the rules under the new program? The problem is the people that are currently within the business community that have built for 7 years believe that they are following the rules. And as evidence, we point to the fact that they've existed for 7 years without being raided or without being destroyed or without being taken over by police. Is that not a sanction in some way for the behavior that you're doing?
Let's talk about Detroit for a second. The city shut down a lot of dispensaries, although it appears a lot of them are still operating illegally or unlawfully. What's happening there?
Well, that's a question. Are they operating illegally and unlawfully? The city of Detroit says 75 centers can continue to remain open and do the same business as they did, the same type of style of business they did while they're in the approval process.
That's just a fraction of the number of dispensaries.
Well, there was at one point between 250 and 300, according to popular surveys. 75 at this point, so being in the application process and only 5 of them having actually been approved for licenses by the city, that says that the city of Detroit believes 75 of those are not harming the community and they're going to allow them to exist. That would stand in contradiction to the Michigan State Police's position that all of these centers are harmful to the communities and must all be destroyed.
Are there any other cities shutting down dispensaries or have they gone through these start and stop situations? I recall Ann Arbor shut down some dispensaries at one point.
What we've seen from cities is that most of them are taking a hands-off approach to the distribution centers unless a problem is created. We've seen law enforcement agents go in and address a situation at one single facility while they drive past several others to get there. And the reason is those other several are doing things properly, and one of them perhaps is not. So that's the type of sanction that we're looking at here from our local communities and from our leaders.
Let's talk about recreational use for a second. It's, as I mentioned, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor. I'm sure there are other cities in the state that allow it. There's also a proposal to legalize recreational marijuana. How's that effort going?
Very well, actually. The signature drive for the Committee to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol in conjunction with the MI Legalize organization has hit all of our targets for signature collecting to this point. We are where we need to be in order to file properly, make sure that we have all of our signatures collected within that 180-day window.
I also understand that you've been getting political donations that will help, if this gets on the ballot, to help advertise with it. Is that correct?
All of the donations being received by the CRMLA right now are dedicated to the petition drive itself, to pay the paid petitioners and also the staff that's necessary to run that operation in the state of Michigan.
Now, this effort to legalize marijuana is not without its critics. We're seeing a lot of them. How likely is it that the effort can be derailed by this opposition?
Not very likely. Once we're on the ballot, once we're approved for the ballot, we believe that the public sentiment is in our favor. All the polling data indicates that the citizenry of Michigan is ready for legalized marijuana. They're ready for the revenue stream. They're ready to redirect their police forces towards more violent crime and towards more appropriate places.
So we've been talking about what's going on in the state, but the U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions wants to get rid of the federal protections that were approved for states where medical marijuana has been approved. Sessions says since we've got a historic drug epidemic, meaning the opioid crisis, then a crackdown on marijuana, which he considers a gateway drug, is warranted. What's your take on the U.S. Attorney General's plan for a crackdown?
Jeff Sessions has been stymied two separate times in his effort to crack down on recreational and on medical marijuana use across the United States. In one, the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment was reinserted back into the budget, which is an amendment.
Yeah, tell us about that amendment. Yeah,
that amendment prohibits federal agents from using federal funds to prosecute state legal marijuana activity, whether that is state legal medical marijuana activity or state legal recreational activity. That's been in the budget for several years. It's odd that it's put in as a budget amendment, but that's the way they do it. Attorney General Sessions tried to have that struck from the budget, and he was unsuccessful. He also sent a letter to states asking them to individually take action against medical marijuana. Governors of the states have rejected that also. Sessions has not been successful in his jihad against the marijuana community.
Well, new budget's coming up. I mean, we just basically passed a stopgap budget, the end of the fiscal year is in the fall. Are we going to go through this again?
I think every year they go through some kind of a stopgap. The budget itself is so large and massive, it's impossible to assign any kind of budgetary difficulties just to the one marijuana issue. The Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment is just a tiny thing in the giant pool of problems they have in Washington.
I guess that's not my point. My point was Sessions is going to have another chance to convince members of Congress to get rid of the amendment. And I'm wondering if you expect him to continue to do that and if you think he'll have any better luck in the coming budget talks.
I believe Jeff Sessions is going to continue to follow his instinct, which is that marijuana is a negative factor on the society. So regardless of popular opinion, regardless of congressional action or direction from the president, I think Jeff Sessions will continue to work against marijuana interests during his entire tenure.
Rick Thompson is with Michigan Legalize and Michigan Normal. Thanks for the update.
Thank you very much.